From the first epistle of blessed Paul to the Corinthians, brethren, you know well enough that when men run in a race, the race is for all, but the prize for one. Run then for victory. Every athlete must keep all his appetites under control, and he does it to win a crown that fades, whereas ours is imperishable. So I do not run my course like a man in doubt of his goal. I do not fight my battle like a man who wastes his blows on the air. I buffet my own body and make it my slave, or I who have preached to others may myself be rejected as worthless. Let me remind you, brethren, of this. Our fathers were hidden, all of them, under the cloud and found a path, all of them, through the sea. All alike in the cloud and in the sea were baptized in Moses' fellowship. They all ate the same prophetic food and all drank the same prophetic drink, watered by the same prophetic rock which bore them company, the rock that was Christ. And for all that, God was ill-pleased with most of them. See how they were laid low in the wilderness. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Here's an image of the kingdom of heaven. A rich man went out at daybreak to hire laborers for work in his vineyard. And when he sent them out into his vineyard, he agreed with the laborers on a silver piece for the day's wages. About the third hour, he came out again and found others standing idle in the marketplace. And to these also he said, 'Away with you to the vineyard like the others. You shall have whatever payment is fair.' Away they went. And at noon and once more at the ninth hour, he came out and did the like. Yet he found others standing there when he came out at the 11th hour. 'How is it,' he said to them, 'that you are standing here and have done nothing all day?' They told him, 'It is because nobody has hired us.' And he said, 'Away with you to the vineyard like the rest.' And now it was evening, and the owner of the vineyard said to his bailiff, 'Send for the workmen and pay them their wages, beginning with the late comers and going back to the first.' And so the men who were hired about the 11th hour came forward, and each was paid a silver piece. So when the others came who were hired first, they hoped to receive more, but they were paid a silver piece each, like their fellows. And they were indignant with the rich man over their pay. 'Here are these latecomers,' they said, 'who have worked but 1 hour, and you have made no difference between them and us, who have borne the day's burden and the heat.' But he answered one of them thus, 'My friend, I am not doing you a wrong. Did we not agree on a silver piece for thy wages? Take what is your due and away with you. It is my pleasure to give as much to this latecomer as to you. Am I not free to use my money as I will? Must you give me the evil eye because I am generous?' So it is that they shall be first who were last, and they shall be last who were first. Many are called, but few are chosen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lord establishes by a very common occurrence in his day a deeper reality, as he always does with the parables. The dynamic that during the time of the harvest for the grapes, there would be a need for workers, a large number of them. And therefore, the paterfamilias would go out to find workers. And anyone who was available, who made himself available by virtue of his being there in the gate or the courtyard or the marketplace, that was his way of saying he wished to work. And he would be met with the opportunity for work. And so our Lord is indicating the reality of how it works with regards to the grace of God, which is not something that you and I merit, but it is given to us as a free gift by God. There's nothing you and I can do to merit it. We must remember that always. Presumption is a very dangerous thing. It can infect those who are on significantly good spiritual ground, because the enemy always begins with spiritual pride to undo. Pride goeth before the fall. And so, in the parable, we see a message of great hope, especially when you consider the reality of who the latecomers are by virtue of what we actually see The parable is using an everyday occurrence to explain a deeper reality, but think of who the latecomers are when you relate them to, say, Peter and the other 11 apostles, who, as our Lord would tell them at the Last Supper, they have been with him from the beginning. They have stood by him. Latecomers would include St. Paul. Latecomers would include St. Dismas, the repentant thief. Latecomers would include St. Augustine. And this is the reality. The latecomers are not necessarily those who find the faith late, as much as it is those who find the faith and convert from sin, from living a life of sinfulness. St. Paul was an enemy of the faith, self-made enemy. St. Dismas was a thief who begins at our Lord's crucifixion mocking our Lord, but then converts by the gift of faith. And we know the life of St. Augustine, a long, arduous journey to the faith based on the reality of his own supreme intellect and spiritual pride. So there is always hope. There is always hope for us. Therefore, we are mindful of this as we begin on this Septuagesima Sunday and mindful of the impending season of Lent, that we need to do things to make certain that we are in that marketplace, in that gate, in that courtyard where we can be found. There's something profoundly sinister going on in the world, and yes, indeed, in the church today. Its origin can only be the father of lies and the murderer from the beginning, because many are being told that they don't have to be in the courtyard, at the gate, or at the marketplace, looking for the father of the family, looking for the Christ, that they can make amends, or that is to say, make peace with Christ on their own by never even trying to work. That mindset that if I feel that I'm at peace with God, then I don't need a priest for the confessional. I don't need anyone to tell me that. I can determine that by my own conscience, which, of course, ultimately is the great failure of the Protestant heretics. They have become the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover, because it is they who accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, which means they redeem themselves. And that mindset has permeated the church, where in my conscience I can redeem myself by virtue of saying I am at peace with God. And the horror is that this mindset is coming from the top, from the throne of Peter itself. Therefore, we're living in dangerous times for a reason, and we must embrace the attitude of St. Paul, the mindset that we are indeed in a race, and not in the sense of a competitive race where we're knocking people down to get what we want, but a competitive race where all are racing on their own to get to the imperishable crown, so no one has to trip up someone else, but one has to run with determination. And Paul is indicating exactly what his master would teach him. Many are called, but few are chosen. And not because God is stingy with his grace, but because we are stingy in our pride. And we want God to acclimate to us. We want God to be what we want him to be, not what he actually is. A relationship with an imaginary God, and not a relationship with the one true God who has made himself known through divine revelation. For our purposes, then, we must remember the reality of our position. That is to say, where are we with regards to that desire to work, that desire to be saved? Grace builds on nature, but free will is everything in the sense that God will not impose himself upon us, for that is not what love is about. God offers us in our own free will, which is why he made the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the first place, to show Adam and Eve that they were not pets, but they were indeed created in his image and likeness and had free will just as the angels. And each of us has the choice to make. Do we live for this world or do we live for the Christ? Do we work in the precincts of the world or do we work in the precincts of Christ? And how we deal with our own shortcomings and our own sinfulness, we are given great hope by our Lord's parable. For we should consider ourselves latecomers and not be so brazen as to consider ourselves the first who were there, because that was the flaw of the Pharisees, which is why they didn't like the Christ, who is the true Messiah, but they had their imagined Messiah, and they wanted a relationship with the imagined Messiah over the true Christ. And there are those new Pharisees in the church. The Pharisees were experts at finding a way around the law of Moses. And we're seeing that even in the precincts of the church today, finding a way around the law, divine revelation, so that people can feel good about themselves, so that their self-esteem is not injured. In other words, living for themselves and for pride. These people are not in a place where the paterfamilias can find them and invite them to his vineyard. They're expecting the Christ to seek them out and to reassure them that they don't need to be in his vineyard, that wherever they are, that is the vineyard. And nothing could be further from the truth. One must be tied to the mystical body of Christ through the Christ and the Christ alone, and he is the only one who calls us to himself through the gift of faith that is given to us by God the Father. So again, during this upcoming Lenten season, and as we make preparations for it, on this Septuagesima Sunday, let us consider ourselves and where we stand, whether or not we are disposed to the Christ or we're hiding somewhere else and living for an imagined Christ, which then does not put us in the place where we can be what we should long to be, the latecomers who are given the same reward as those who started from the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.